I left a reputation many, many years ago of being one of the longest speakers when I was bidding farewell to the theological college. I spoke and kept people listening for 1 hour, and they know me for that. I'll try my best tonight to be as short as possible. It might be something that is developing in me because of old age that is coming slowly in me. But I want to say thank you so much in the first place to you all for the great support that you have been giving us in Malawi. And we'll continue to say that without your support, I think I would have given up. But God, in his own way, has given you a heart to encourage us, to get us going until now. So thank you so much. Most of the ministry that we have done in the congregations have been possible because you gave us your warm heart and a warm hand. I had a picture that I was going to project somewhere just for you to see the activities that have developed out of what then we called the Theological Resource Center. And that was simply a ministry that would bring in as many books as possible, theological books, for the ministers in Malawi to read and strengthen their ministries, pastoral ministries, to read and be able to preach good sermons. And from here, we sent a 40-foot container with over 3,000, 4,000 books of theology. And then we set up a theological college, a theological resource center. But at the same time, let me say, we had so many books that some of these books crossed over the border to Zambia, where they were also setting up a library for their theological college. All these books, they are available in Zambia. They are available now in Zimbabwe, given by God's people from Australia. Thank you. You supported us with reading materials, and you have continued to support us with material things. Food aid programs continue because you have funded some of the food programs. Hospital healthy areas have continued in the government hospital as well as mission hospital because you have supported us. And schools have developed a new direction in the understanding of certain subjects because you people have helped us. Schools have been built, churches, and that's not just in Malawi. In Zambia, you have done so much. In 2013, 2012, I was sick myself, and I had to attend medication in Lusaka. One Sunday, I went to a congregation, and they said, come into the vestry. And we were standing by a fence. So I said, when are we going into the vestry? They said, this is the vestry. After that, after prayer, they said, oh, now we can go in the church. And they led me to a tree, a mango tree, and we sat there and worshipped God. This time, because I came out of Malawi on the 22nd of August, visited Zambia, then visited Zimbabwe, visited South Africa, and then coming here. I went to the same church in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, and they took me into a vestry, a structure very well built. And thereafter, we went into the church. The church, slightly bigger than this one, very well roofed, good walls, windows, and chairs. So I said, it's only about 2013, 2012, when I was here. What have you done? And they said, we got support from the Presbyterian Church in Australia. Praise the Lord. It's working. It worked in Malawi. It is working in Malawi until today. It's working in Zambia. It's working also in Zimbabwe. I want to say thank you. You have done it all. Reading Matthew 25, beginning from verses 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered together. All the nations will be gathered together. And the word of God is saying, the Lord will sit, and then he will begin to set these nations apart, one to the left, another to the right. And the process will go on until everybody has been given a position, either on the left or on the right. And then he says, enter then you. Then the king will say to those in his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Come and enter the kingdom, the inheritance of the saints. And they will start questioning, how can this be? And Jesus continues to say, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was in hospital, sick, and in prison, and you visited me. And they get the shock. How can you say that? Because we never saw you in our lives. And he says, just as you did it to these people, you did it to me. Come, enter. And then to the left, forget it. You did not do this, you did not do this, and so on. And he said, oh, we didn't see you. He said, well, just as you did not do this to these least ones, you did not do it to me. And friends, every time I think about this, I really get nervous. Really nervous, because in this world, which probably is similar to what they lived in, we have situations which can be beyond our understanding that such situations would be related to Jesus Christ our Lord. We have liars, we have criminals around us, and some of them will come to us asking for help. How do we do it? Which to me sounds like we need that discerning spirit to really understand the being in the expression of Jesus. Now, you see, here is a situation where the judge comes in, and this judge being the persecuted one, Jesus Christ, this judge being the one that they rejected, this judge being the one they spat on, this judge being the one they crucified, but now is coming in a totally different capacity to be the judge of the people who did wrong. All nations. I wonder what exactly was the motivation behind these people who attended to the sick, who attended to the hungry, who attended to the situation that was needful in those days. Because today, there are still many organizations that are offering charity, mobilizing themselves to provide all that is needed for human survival. But most of the times are motivated by different reasons. But I want to believe that these people Jesus Christ was referring to and inviting into the kingdom must have had something more than just charity. And I've felt like this is what the cross of Jesus Christ has done to us. To invite us from all walks of life, from different nationalities, to be one, to live at peace with one another, to love one another, regardless of where we come from, regardless of the status we are in. Not because they had plenty, but what was plenty was the heart, the compassion of Jesus Christ dwelling in him. The love of Jesus Christ in them. The mercies of Christ in them. Which is more than just human charity. Sometimes we have no regard for the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I had the feeling, again and again, that what the cross is doing is simply to reconcile man with God up there, with man, and with man, with God's creation. And when all that is complete, man has no problem to do good to the other man, regardless of whether they should hate them or not. The love of Christ compels them to do extra. The love of Christ compels them to enjoy hardship for the other. Maybe that is why today I would be saying, we in Malawi have felt your love. And we are convinced that this love is not coming because you are Westerners. All that you have done to Central Africa is not because you have plenty and therefore you have nowhere to throw that one away to, but because you have the compassion, you have the love. You have a heart for the suffering blacks out there. And if it was probably in my power, on the basis of this scripture, I would be saying, come and enter, take your inheritance in the kingdom of God. I would definitely say that. Because Jesus Christ has spoken about prisoner and hospitalized. You have done it. I am a typical example of one who was in hospital sick, and you people prayed for me, and you people shared your material with me. Today I can stand, even assured by the medical doctors that I'm well. I checked myself just a week before, and they assured me that all is perfect. You saw me. And not just me, but medical supplies have come to our hospitals. The patients have been visited. Come into the kingdom. But I want to relate the story of your great work to what Paul is saying in his letter to the Corinthians. The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, and the first two verses. Paul is saying, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship. Paul is just taking a bit of time to position himself and the works that he has done to these people. An apostle? Yes, I am. Seen Jesus? Yes, I have seen him. And then he continues to say, actually, you are the seal of my apostleship. You are because of the gospel that I have preached to you, and I have the right to this and to that and to that. Now, in between, he has said a few things. But in conclusion, what he has said is this, and that is what I would like us to probably relate to the works that we have done. He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I have done all this commendable job, the facilitation of the gospel to you has been a success. I have done it all, and I am a qualified apostle. But he says, I have learned, and I make sure I do that, to discipline myself, to subject my body to some type of discipline, because I fear that after having done all that I have done, I will see you go into the kingdom and me disqualified. After all these works imparted to you, and you receive salvation in your faith through faith in Jesus Christ, I, who directed you to the Lord, can easily be disqualified. And therefore, I discipline myself. I control myself. I make sure that every day of my life, as I preach, I too must be preached to. As I serve, I too must benefit my relationship with God. So what he's doing is day by day, all the time, checking, is he in control of his life with God? Is he relating well with God? And every time I think about this, I think about the wise men from the East who are singing and following the star. And they are going to where the star is leading them, not knowing that their feet were turning into Herod's palace, thinking we are praising and honoring the Lord. And yet, because of lack of personal discipline, we are following other tracks. Friends, it is possible to give. It is possible to have compassion. It is possible to do all that we can do, and yet end in hell. Why? Because service, good things that we do, there is no salvation in that. Salvation is in faith for our Lord Jesus Christ, and then works. Not works, salvation, but salvation and works. Paul has said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 2, where he is saying, you are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ, and then to do good works that he has foreordained even before the foundations of this world. May I appeal to you, dear friends, that for my judgment, we deserve this welcome of our Lord Jesus Christ into the inheritance of the saints, the kingdom of God. We deserve that. But this is only true if our relationship is right with God. If the Christ that we serve, his life is replicated in us day by day. And unfortunately, our journey is not just a 50-kilometer journey. It is in as far as the Lord comes back to find us faithful in Him, to find us walking in obedience to His word, to find us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not to find us in the works alone, but to find us in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ together with our works. Having done that, Paul is saying, me, I will not be satisfied with what I have done. I work out within myself to be fully in tune with God, with the Spirit of the Lord, to be right with Him. The righteousness of Christ imputed in us is our major goal and desire. And then the works thereafter, because God wants us to do that. May you hang on to this great faith and you will enjoy the things that you are doing. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, that whoever will believe in Him must not perish, but have eternal life. And as we run, as we serve, as we labor, let us always ask ourselves, have we received that eternal life in us? Are we Christians because we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior? The invitation is all there every day. Now, even if we labor to be like Christ, this is not something that we should say it is because we are us. Even our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, every day He would find a spare time in a quiet place to just be Himself with the Lord, with God. And if our Master did it, can we not do it? To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. God has given us His Son. God has invited us into His kingdom to be reconciled with Him, to walk with Him. And all that I would say is, friends, let us live this life being watchful, guarding jealously our faith in Christ Jesus, and living in expectation of his coming at any time. Amen. John, can I...